Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want you all to do me a favor this morning. Everybody that's sitting behind Sister Mildred Campbell, would you come up to the front? Would you come up? Would you come up? Everybody that's sitting behind Sister. Yeah. Dorothy. Everybody that's sitting behind Sister Dorothy, would you come up? Would you come up? Everybody that's sitting behind Sister Dorothy, would you come up? The choir's gonna stay here. Everybody that's behind Brother Hicks, Sister Cheryl Latimer. Everybody that's behind Cheryl Latimer, raise your hand, Cheryl Latimer. Would you come up? Would you come up? Amen. Yeah. Everybody behind Sister Ida Mitchell, raise your hand, Sister Mitchell. Would you come up? Would you come up? Amen. I got y'all. I got you. Appreciate it. Yeah. Amen.
Chains falling. Anybody hear the chains say, I hear the chains falling down in every situation. I feel the chains. Oh, I hear the falling.
Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful today for our church, for presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful to see everybody here today. Look like you just left. Amen. Look like you just left this place. We had more people here last night than we've had in ages. Amen. Just a wonderful New Year's service last night. Seven of our ministers did a magnificent job. And the fact that anybody showed up today, I'm just glad to see you here. Amen. Happy New Year to all of you. Amen. I'm so grateful to God. It's been an absolutely wonderful year in my life and in the life of our church this year. And I'm grateful to God for that. We've had a wonderful December, had a wonderful December with our diaconate fellowship celebrating the going away of the Ruffins who are in Virginia today preparing another life for themselves. And our prayers are with Mike and Sherry Ruffin. Had a wonderful celebration with the choir in the Whitaker Hall as they celebrated the work that they have done and the glory of God that has shown on their ministry all of this time that they've sung. Had a wonderful fellowship with the 25 to 45-year-olds at my house. And then this past Friday, we had a great fellowship with the diaconate, the ministers, and the trustees. And I'm grateful to God. We had another fellowship last night. And here we are again. Amen. So let me get to work. I always have to say how much I appreciate all of my people here at Mount Olivet, because I really do appreciate you. When I listen to this choir sing like they sing, I appreciate you doing that. It's the ministry of helps. It's the ministry of inspiration. And just really appreciate the choir. Give our choir a hand. Some of you really miss the fun that we have. We go out a lot during the course of the week. Sometimes we singing in places that people didn't even know existed in Rochester, singing and preaching. But every time we say go, this choir is right there. These musicians are right there. And we thank the Lord for them. Thank God for you. I only got a few minutes to work today, so let's go to work. I want to go to 7 minutes. That was for Wade. Wade told me 7 minutes. Give me 10, Wade. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Since Wade says 7 minutes, I'm not going to read all of my scripture. I'm just going to read verse 8 and 9 in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 8 is really the course of things, the thick of this text. It says, but because the Lord loved you, and somebody say because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, here it is, he is God. Somebody ought to say that. He is God. I don't care what you're going through. He is God. He is God. The Flint Cavaliers out of Michigan sing a song that says, he's still God. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to talk about the faithful God. Who am I talking to this morning that can say God is faithful? God is just faithful. God is faithful. This text comes this morning from the book of Deuteronomy. And seldom do you hear a lot of preaching coming from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law. It's like Deuteronomy is a statement or it's a restatement of the law of God. Deuteronomy is like God talking to Israel and saying to Israel, listen, here it is right here. I said it before. Now, somebody that likes to shout and looks for something to shout about, here it is right here. God is saying to Israel, I said it before, and now I'm saying it again. Come here, because you missed that. Somebody's going through something, and it looks like God has forgotten you. And God told me to tell you, I hear God saying, I said I would bring you up and out of the muck and miry clay. And he's really saying to us, as he says to Israel, I said it before. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care who left you, who came to you, who took from you, who stole from you, who lied on you, who tried to bury you. God says, I said it before. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll bring you up. I'll pick you up. I'll turn you around. I'll set your feet on higher ground. I said it before and I'll say it again. And I need to tell somebody today, if God said it, that settles it. Now, I need you to know that Israel needed that divine assurance that they could depend on God. And I think Israel then was just like us. Sometimes we just need to know. And we need to be assured and reassured that you can depend on God. This passage assures Israel that their God, our God, is a faithful God. It assures Israel, one, that they could rest in him, they could trust his word, they could believe his promises, and they could depend on his power. And I hear God saying, Ricky, on this first Sunday in the year, remind my people. You already know it, but just remind my people again. Just tell them, as I told Israel, again, let me tell you again, God is faithful. You can trust him. You can believe his promises. You can depend on his power, because whatever God says, he means what he says. And sometimes God says it again. We're living in a time now where everywhere I turn, almost in every conversation, every day I hear these words, you can't trust anybody. Come here. I hear these words. Look like every circle that I get in, every meeting that I get in, I hear these words, you can't trust anybody. You can't trust anybody. And it breaks my heart that even in Christendom, that same quote is heard, you can't trust anybody. And that's why I wanted to show you reasons in this text that demonstrate the truth that our God is a faithful God. Here we go with the points. God's faithful passion for his people. One, it's the reality of God's passion. It set his love upon you. It says in this text, he has set his love upon us to passionately desire a thing. I mean, God has made us to desire him. Why do you think you were here till after almost 1 o'clock this morning and some of you got up and muscled your way out here again? It's because, not because you couldn't help yourself or you didn't have anywhere else to go, but God has put his passion in our hearts. God loves his people. He has set his heart on the people of Israel and took every necessary step to bring them to himself. I mean, his love is everlasting, his love is expensive, and his love is extensive. And so not only in this text do we see the reality of God's passion, but notice in this text the reaction of God's passion. It says, the Lord thy God has chosen thee. God chose me. God chose you. I mean, he says, I've chosen you. Of all of the people on the face of the earth in the day, God chose this tiny nation, Israel, to be the focus of his love, to be the focus of his grace, and the focus of his mercy. And guess what God has done this morning? I mean, touch yourself and say, me. God has chosen you to be the focus of his love. God has chosen you to be the focus of his grace. And God has chosen you to be the focus of his mercy. The reasons for God's passion. Notice that. Why did God choose Israel? And why does God choose you? And why does God choose me? You heard the song that says, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his love for me. Verse 7 might help us with that. It says in verse 7, God not choose them. He did not choose them because of their numerical superiority. Come here. In other words, God didn't choose us because of our greatness. God did not choose us because of our education. God did not choose us because of our stature, because of the weight that carries with us. God chose us because of his love. After all, God says to the people of Israel, he said, I didn't choose you because of your numbers, because you were the fewest. You were the least of all people. In other words, God did not choose them because of inequality they possessed with themselves. Verse 8 tells us just why he chose them. He did it because of his will. Why did God choose us? He did it because of his will. No reason is given for God loving us other than it's his will to love us. He did it because not only did he love us and choose us because of his will, he loved us and chose us because of his word. And didn't the text just sort of teach us earlier that God is not a man that he should lie? I mean, God loves us this morning. God cares for us this morning. Maybe even when we don't trust God, God still trusts us. That's why it might be a little easier to trust each other, because God still trusts us. He trusts me enough with this position. He trusts Lewis enough with that position. He trusts Bruce enough with that position. He trusts Dorothy enough with that position. And since God trusts us non-trustworthy vessels, maybe we can begin to trust God enough to trust each other. He did it because of his word, God's faithful performance for his people. What is it that God performs for his people? First of all, he desires us. God just wants to be in our presence. My mama called me. She says, I just want you to come home. I said, Mama, I just left home. She says, I just want you home because I want you home. Who am I talking to that understands God just wants us in his presence because he wants us in his presence? God wants us in his presence because we're his. And whatever is yours, you want it in your possession. Somebody asked to borrow my car. I said, no. They said, are you driving? And I said, no. They said, why can't I drive it? I said, because it's mine and I want it in my possession. And whatever belongs to you, you just feel good when what's yours is in your possession. And God says, I just want my children to be in my possession. Mama said, come home for Christmas. I said, Mama, I just left home. But come home. God says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so not only do this text shows us God's faithful passion for his people, it shows us God's faithful performance for his people. He desires them, but not only does he desire them, he delivers them. Look at verse 8, reminds us that he brought them out with a mighty hand. How did you get to 2017? Somebody says, maybe I know the formula. Well, let me tell you what the formula is. Oh, it is Jesus. That's what the formula is. It's not being able to run a 5K every morning. It's not being able to eat oatmeal every morning. The formula is Jesus. It says in verse 8, he reminds us that I brought you out with my hand and I redeemed you out of the house of bondage. From the hand of Pharaoh, from the grips of Egypt, God says, I brought you out. And when God brings you out, he says, come and let me just hold you. Let me deliver you. And he says in this text, let me desire you. Let me deliver you. But not only does he want to desire us and want to deliver us, God wants to develop us. Because he says in verse 6, he calls us a holy people. I'm talking to people being called other stuff, but it doesn't matter what other folk call you. It doesn't matter what other people call me. I'm telling you what God calls his. God calls us a holy people. God knows that sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. God knows that sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down, but he calls us a holy people. And then in verse 6, he says, not only are you a holy people, but you are a special people. Word holy means saint. The word special means set aside. God says you're a saint set aside. And that's why things go well for you when they don't go well for other folks. God says you're a saint set aside. And that's why you don't lose your head when stuff don't go right, because God says you're a saint set aside. That's why it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or Hillary in the White House, because your blessings don't come from the White House. It comes from the house not built by hands. So the text, God's faithful passion for his people. God's faithful performance for his people. But let me get ready to leave you by telling you about God's faithful promises to his people. He is faithful. Why? Because of his name. As we move into 2017, as we land here, we're here. Think about how good and how faithful God is. Not has been, but how good and how faithful God is. Come here, I know I'm talking to some folk. I'm talking to folk, I stood by your bedsides in the hospitals when some of you looking at me didn't think you were going to make it this year. You can't tell me God is not faithful. I stood there with you in courthouses when you didn't know what the judge was going to say, and the odds were stacked against you. You can't tell me that God is not faithful. God is faithful. Look at the text. God is called God, the Lord, thy God. And then he's called faithful God. Each of these names magnify a different aspect of God. He is God that identifies him as the one who is over all. It's all of his power. It's all of his glory. It's all of his influence and all of his wonders. He is God. But not only is he God, look at the text. The text also says he is the Lord thy God. Am I in the text? He says he is the Lord thy God. The name Lord is the covenant name of God. This name identifies him as the external God. It is the self-existing one God. I mean, before time, there was God. Before space, there was God. Before earth, there was God. Before heaven, there was God. Before hell, there was God. In the beginning, there was God. The name is the most common name for him in the Bible. He is God. So I'm going to leave you when I tell you, finally, he is the Lord thy God. He is faithful. His faithfulness is unlimited. Because Psalms 36 and 5 says that his faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. And so he's faithful because his faithfulness, it does not just reach into the parameters of this room. But David says his faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. But not only is he faithful because his faithfulness is unlimited, he is faithful because his faithfulness is unfailing. I used to hear the old church sing, God's word will never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And what I'm trying to tell you is his faithfulness is unlimited. What I'm trying to tell you is in the courthouse, he's faithful. On your job, he's faithful. In the military, he's faithful. Everywhere you go, the Lord is faithful. And not only is his faithfulness unlimited, but his faithfulness is unfailing. And his faithfulness is just a look, it's a glimpse into who God really is. Because when Mary and Martha needed the Lord was right there. And when the Samaritan needed the Lord was right there. And when blind Bartimaeus needed the Lord was right there. And I ought to have a witness when I tell you today, when you needed the Lord, have I got a witness here? The Lord was right there. When you got sick, wasn't God right there? When you got in trouble, wasn't God right there? When the doctors walked away and shook his head, wasn't God right there? And I've had to tell so many members who left this place and gone on to other churches that God would be right there. I told Harvey and Ann McCordy that when you get to Maryland, God is right there. I told Ralph and Molly, when you get to Indianapolis, God is right there. I told Cecil in Alberta, when you get to Ohio, God is right there. And I want to tell Lisa, Janae, and the David, when you get where you're going, God is right there. Isn't he a wonderful God? I'm going to leave you now. Has he been faithful through all of your sickness, through all of your ups and downs, through January down to December? Has God been faithful to your children, to your sons, and to your daughters? Has God been faithful to your ups and downs in your marriages? Hasn't God still been faithful when you couldn't see your way in 2016? And when you couldn't see your way in 2015, didn't God prove to be faithful to you? No wonder the songwriter said, sit there if you want to. I done got happy now. That's all I needed was just to feel the faithfulness of God. Oh, I love the Lord. He's sure been faithful to me. Am I talking to somebody here? Lord, Lord, know he been good to you. What did he do for you? He brought me when I couldn't bring myself. And I wonder this morning, who am I talking to? Sure, no, God's been good. I got to leave you now. I just want to give you five reasons that the Lord is faithful. One, he woke me up this morning. Can I get a witness here? Two, he woke me up this morning. Three, he woke me up this morning. Four, he woke me up this morning. I got one more reason. Sit there if you want to. But I'm so glad when I looked at the newspaper and I looked in your obituary column this morning, my name wasn't there, because God is faithful. God is faithful. And I got one thing to ask you this morning. Do you love the Lord? Can I get a witness here? Do you love him? Do you love him? I done got happy now. Anybody here love Jesus? Shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand and tell him I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I wish I had, just a little more time to tell somebody that I love him this morning. If I got one witness here, look at your neighbor, put him in your arm. I said, look at your neighbor, put him in your arm. I got your neighbor, put him in your arm and tell him, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. He'll 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 take care of you. He's a faithful God. That's all I gotta tell you. That's all I gotta tell you. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. The doors of the church are open. He'll take care of you. The doors of the church are open. He'll take care of you. I'm a living witness, he will. I'm a living witness, he will. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. He'll be a friend when you don't have a friend.